Reiko here, your friendly neighborhood witch. Now, I know what you're thinking, but you're safe here. It's okay to not be okay. And self-love is always going to be the best love. Self-care is going to be the best care. Now, join me as we let out some steam and become a little less stress and more carefree. Come join me over our weekend detox and let's detox together, because we always want to protect our energy.
Greetings, salutations. Hi guys, it's your friendly neighborhood witch, Reiko. How you doing on all platforms? I am here just for a quick AMA for today's episode. It's not anything updated or anything of that nature, but I am going to take some time to talk about some quick updates real quick before, well, not updates, just news in general, before we get into some of the questions that I got asked. I actually did look at a few of them, unfortunately, that were on Facebook, and I didn't get nearly enough on IG, because IG tends to be repeat questions, and most of those people are not really asking me questions that are relevant to the podcast. So we're gonna go ahead and start it. All right, so again, Reiko, Sunday Detox. It's my podcast. This is what we do. I sit here and we talk about things that is relevant to millennials, to the generation, to stigmas, breaking stigmas, things of that nature. If this is your very first time coming to an episode, just know that I am not going to sugarcoat things. I'm not going to be very PG about things. I tend to be very straightforward, especially if you're following me on IG right now. I am on I'm on my petty shit today. I don't feel like addressing anything to anyone before I get into the question portions of what's going on in you know, in Little's Reiko's world. Today I'm unapologetically me. I woke up on choosing violence today in the best physical possible way ever. And then I'm also going to be streaming later tonight for video games right after the stream is done and over, and then I'm going to go from there. But first things first, updates for my lovely, lovely people that I want to go ahead and first and say thank you guys so much for dealing with me, my podcast, hanging out, and making Reiko's Sunday Detox, or Weekend Detox now, because we went from Sunday Detox to Weekend Detox, a top 40 detox podcast. And I appreciate every single one of y'all. Like, I was ugly face crying when I got the news. I've had people try to reach out to me to get me on their podcast since then, and everything else like that. It's been amazing, honestly, knowing that, you know, my podcast is being heard by people, and, you know, actually people are taking the time to listen and actually express and have fun and, you know, learning something from it and actually gathering stuff from it, which, you know, warms my heart and my soul, because honestly, I went through so much stuff in my life, and I've seek guidance from different psychiatrists, different therapists to deal with my anxiety, to deal with my depression. And even then, when I was telling my family that something was mentally wrong with me, they were like, well, maybe you need to go seek a therapist. And then I had some family members like, no, that's just the devil. You just need to pray about it and let it go. And I'm just like, I don't think that's what this is. I think this is mental health, and mental health is something that a lot of people is still considering taboo, especially if you grow up in an old-fashioned family where if you have a father who isn't really big on going to the doctor, or a family that has very traditional values, or you grew up in a time, because a lot of people still don't remember that it wasn't too long ago that segregation was still a thing, that, you know, people were bashing gay kids and, you know, kids were committing suicide. I'm sorry, guys, trigger warning. To a lot of things and not knowing the why or the reason why they're feeling the way that they're feeling. So when I decided to start talking about my experiences, because it made me feel a little bit better and helped me overcome these things, that's what made me make this podcast, is because I used to talk a lot of real shit. And if you guys remember back from the very first episode, I talked about the conversation I had with the girl about being the center of somebody's universe, being a part of someone's universe, and me having that long rant on IG, which I still have the video if you guys haven't seen it. I'm gonna at some point in time probably pull that video and upload it somewhere. I don't know. But that was the video that kind of started it all, when I had a lot of people telling me, hey, you're speaking truth, you're speaking gems, you're doing this, that, and the other. Because we have a lot of women out there and a lot of men out there who are breaking stigmas, talking about things that a lot of people don't want to talk about. And it's just like, you have to remind people that we are a generation of people that is changing. What is that? Blackheart, are you a colic?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. Probably. I think so. Maybe. I can't read that from here, and I'm not going to try to read it. But, NTQ, I'm not going to do that. It's this is for a podcast, so it's just to ask a thing. And no, to answer your question, I don't think so. Off of your, are you a colic? I don't know what that word is. I've never seen that word a day in my life, and I don't think you spelled it correctly, if that is a word. And I don't think my sister's going to look it up to figure it out either. I can't look at my phone right now because I'm live on something else. Huh?
Do you want me to?
Never mind. Diva, it's fine. So, but no, I started this podcast as a people telling me I should talk about my truths. And it's been therapeutic for me. It's been helping other people. Yeah, it didn't make anything. Yeah, that's what I thought. It didn't look like it was a word. I don't know. See, K-A... No, Neek. Oh, God damn it. The infamous baby is trying to make his presence today. What is that? The fact that you're still reading makes me slightly concerned.
No?
No, what? What does it mean?
White supremacists that target teenage girls into starvation and self-harm.
No. No. No, no, no. I am a... To answer your question, no. I did not starve myself. And I do not approve of people who have eating health issues. And I honestly... I can honestly say I used to be an emo kid growing up. Like, people fail to realize and remember this. I grew up being an emo kid before I became a gothic kid. Like, I was straight up not gothic, not emo scene kid. Definitely, you know, full-blown baggy trip pants, which I still have a lot of trip gear and stuff. I have the same name as a Twitter cult leader. That's disturbing. No. No. Mm-mm. I've had this name for over 10 years. Shoot, since it was like, I think I've been using Reiku Blackheart since I was like 17. Yeah, over 10 years. That's well over 10 years. I didn't know. And then I haven't recently gotten to Twitter until like 2 years ago. As long as this podcast has been going. That's a little weird. Yeah, no. I feel like a lot of people, though. Honestly, at the end of the day, there's a lot of cults out there. I'm not a cult person. I'm not going to ever suggest. I'm probably one of the first people that will call out a cult in a heartbeat and be like, that's a cult. In Jacksonville, Florida, there's a cult. They claim they're a church. They're a cult. Nobody can tell me otherwise. But no, I'm not a cult person. I will always tell people live their best and truest life. I'm not going to tell them that my way is the highway or whatever. I take it you're looking this up right now? No, you're doing other stuff. Okay, cool. But back to what I was saying. I started this podcast as a way to help people battle depression and battle anxiety and help people remember that it's okay to not be okay, that, you know, the things that we're feeling is human feelings and we're allowed to feel these ways, especially if you're kind of in that weird space as a millennial where you're trying to break stigmas and we're coping with alcoholism and coping with other stuff because of being able to understand the younger generation and the older generation and kind of be stuck in the middle of breaking those stigmas and all those other major things, especially when it comes to, like, you know, relationship norms and when it comes to our mental health norms, especially if you grew up in a culture that it's still taboo to talk about mental health. It's still taboo to talk about anxiety. And now we have a generation of people who know what gaslighting is and know what, you know, different things are. I try to remind people, like, yes, millennials, we have a lot of problems, but we are trying to break stigmas. And then we have, you know, the generation below us that, you know, they've done some crazy things, but they don't care. I mean, honestly, they don't. Our generation is probably the most depressed generation out there, where the generation before us, they just dealt. They just lived with the consequences of what was going on in their lives and everything else like that. And I, to this day, feel as though the more we talk about mental health, the more we're likely to avoid people that we really care about, and realizing the differences between what people talk about is depression and suicidal thoughts and how people act when they're depressed and suicidal versus what really is the case. Because a person who is smiling at you and happy all the time can also be a person who suffers depression and anxiety and everything else like that. Like, I can tell you the last couple episodes of the podcast, I was severely depressed. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to, you know, sugarcoat it to anybody, because that's what I do. I create a safe space for you guys to understand that not every day is going to be glitter. Not every day is going to be gold. I'm still going on this journey and overcoming my past and the things that has happened in my past, and try to understand and help people understand that I don't have everything figured out. Like, I'm not perfect. I'm perfectly imperfect, and it's just how it's going to always be. But until I can figure out a balance, I'm going to keep going through the things that I'm going through until that time. So the biggest thing that I always try to tell people is you have to be careful when it comes down to your health. Find a source. If you know there's something wrong with you and you've been questioning and you're trying to ask the whys and everything else like that, I'm here to remind you that it's okay to not be okay. You're not going to be happy every day. You're not going to be sunny every day. You're not going to have, you know, someone on your side every single time. But just know that there is resources out there. There's safe places out there that you can go to. I created a safe place for people to come and talk, be themselves, and talk about different things between, you know, sex positivity, mental health, things of that nature. Because at the end of the day, we want you to be safe. We want you to understand that your norm is your norm. It doesn't have to be everybody else's norm, and that opinions are like assholes and everybody has them. I still battle with that every day, even if I say it all the time. Everything that I say, I still battle with. I'm great at giving advice, but sometimes taking my own advice is going a little bit sideways. And if Zeb is watching me, because I think he just tried to call me, he said the messenger is disabled on Facebook. If you can hear me, just try to message me on IG, because I'm also live on IG. If for any reason you don't know a source or a place to go for a safe space, there's plenty of resources I can give you. If you don't want to come to me, if you don't want to come to reach out to the suicide hotline, I tell people all the time, and honestly, I've had relationships where it didn't work out with partners because I told them I've lost a friend for not picking up a phone call, and that one light in the corner is really bothering me, and I think that's the light in the back. It is the light in the back. That room just illuminates heavy. I lost a friend for not picking up a call one time, and it really hurt me that I lost somebody I cared about because... Pause for the cause as my sister walk across the main screen. Go ahead. Just go. Yeah, that was the thing. Nico is living his best and fullest life being in the camera right now. He's so happy. He's so happy to be here right now. I guess Messenger is disabled on Facebook. I am so sorry. If you can actually pull up a tab on Chrome, you should be able to pull up Facebook. Facebook. Thank you. I can't see myself now, but it's okay. Swap pages. Pages. You were on the wrong spot. You were supposed to go to the left side. Go back. Oh, my sister is sitting here having a moment, guys. Oh, sugar on the ice tea. Oh, no. I don't see it either. Oh, well. Oh, well. There it is. Try to click on comments. What it, comments? Well, are the settings? I just clicked it. It's delayed on Facebook too. That's sad. I don't know. Anywho, I'm gonna go back to what I was saying as my sister's trying to figure out her life. I lost my train of thought. Do you remember? Nope. She doesn't either. All right, cool. Anyway, as we were trying to figure out the comment situation with Facebook, I'm sorry, Facebook gets treated like, you know, shit. It's okay. It's just, for me, I told, like, a lot of my exes, I will never not have my phone on because for some odd reason, all the detrimental stuff always happens at night. It always happens, when I least expect it or when I care to find out. Try to comment on it. You spelled everyone incorrectly. And I just told myself, like, I would never do that. Like, if my friends ever need me, you can call me. I've had people call me at 3:00 in the morning because they're leaving a club and their tire broke or they just need somebody to talk to as they get home. And I've gotten in trouble with exes over that because the fact of being, they're like, why are you taking time? Because you never know if that one call might be the call to save somebody. I have female friends who call me just because they need someone to talk to, why somebody's being a creeper walking into the mall or something like that. So I've had issues with that. So I try to create a safe space because of fact of being, I know what it's like to be a woman. I know what it's like to be on the edge when it comes to mental health. I know what it's like to deal with not being able to have a source or a person to go to talk to, because at the end of the day, I didn't have people there for me. So I knew for a fact I wanted to be there for other people, especially when it came to people in mental health. And after that one experience of not being there with the one person who I lost because I didn't pick up the phone for her when she was on the edge and she committed suicide, I said never again. I said never again, never again. So ever since then, I've just always created a safe space. My phone has always been on. My ringer's always been on. If you ever needed to talk to me, that's how to get to me. And I would never not tell nobody you can't call me at all hours of the time. If you called me at 3:00 in the morning, I'll probably be asleep, probably be a little angry, but at the end of the day, I'll be there. But like, no, 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 you're fine. What do you need? Huh? Mm. Okay. So, more or less, I wanted to thank people for understanding the premise and why I'm here, why I created this podcast. Thank you guys for actually making it to the point where we were top in the top 40 for the detox podcast. So I'm like, I ugly face cried. I was emotional. I was going through some stuff. Like, this is my mental health check-in. I didn't actually have time to actually do anything other than plan out AMA as a mental health check-in before Mental Health Awareness Month, because I went through some hell at the beginning of this month. Actually, it started in around March, right after my birthday. Somebody hit my car. And because somebody hit my car, I didn't have my car for like 3 weeks. And I was financially struggling, so I was depressed because of my finances. And then when I get my car back, not even 48 hours, like I got my car back on a Thursday and somebody broke into my car. Like I didn't even have enough time to put anything back in my car, but somebody broke into my car literally that weekend. And when I tell you, I was not okay. I was not okay. I was in my car. I was crying and I didn't want to deal with people. I'm like, I have no one to run to. Help. Send help, please. Oh my God. I called like everybody, and honestly, I got into it so badly because I was so mentally messed up. It was to the point for like literally a whole week. Even to this time, like I get in my car. Like I already checked my car, but because of this incident, I got into the more habit of, like, I'm evaluating my car even further back before I get close to my car because of this incident. And it's to the point where if anything's slightly out of place, I instantly start having anxiety because it's just been that bad because of this incident involving my car. I actually got into it with my family over it because I felt like their priorities were more on other things versus seeing how my mental health was. Like, I was not okay at all that entire week. I'm to be honest with you, this is the first time I've been okay in the last 2 days. It's been the first time I've been okay. But literally for about a week and a half, I was on the edge. I was mentally just tired. I was mentally, spiritually, emotionally tired, where it was to the point where if something bad happened to me, I'm just like, fuck it. And normally I feel a slew of emotions, but I just wasn't feeling anything. So mentally, I was not in the best headspace. Emotionally, I was not in the best headspace. I actually had to call my ex because I told him, I was like, I was on the verge of like running my car into the back of another car because I was just so fucking frustrated with everything involving my car. And I ended up screaming in my car, and I haven't done that since me and my ex broke up, like right before we got a divorce. I actually drove my car and just screamed, and I mean like loud scream. Like it was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. And then Mother's Day came up, and my ex called me and made me feel, you know, amazing. And he was just like, and this is the same ex I normally call whenever I'm like real, real low, because we understand each other. And it's just like, despite everything, like he knows if he ever needs me, I'm there for him. And if I ever need him, he's always there for me. And we've been like friends since I was like 16 years old. So he knows all the shit that I've gone through. And, I mean, we're not together, but he's like, he's always going to have love for me, and I'm always going to have love for him. And, I don't think I would ever trade him for the world. So I have to thank him tremendously, because even if he doesn't listen to podcasts, he's been a big help in my mental health growth and my spiritual growth, as well as he's the reason why I know how to change my own tire and check my oil. If it wasn't for him, I learned so much shit from my first real boyfriend. So if it wasn't for him, I have to thank him, because he actually was part of the reason I created this podcast. and decided to pursue this. And then I also want to thank, like I said, the fans, the followers, everybody who's been sharing my podcast, listening to my podcast, being there for the podcast, everything. So now, to get to the fun part, see if the comments are still rolling on Facebook. If they're not rolling on Facebook, because I don't think they're rolling where you can see them on here for us. I don't know. No, they're not. They're, I don't know. We'll go. It's okay. I'm not going to stress it. But to what the today is, this is a AMA. I actually had a few people on Facebook, Twitter, and IG send me some stuff. Not too many. So this podcast, like I said, is going to be relatively short. And then right after, probably like 25, 30 minutes when I move everything back to my gaming area, I will be playing Resident Evil Village for Gothic Gamer Date Night for everybody else at that point for gaming content, not just for mental health. But again, that's still a safe space for people to come, enjoy, be goofy, and have fun and everything else like that. I actually had a couple people ask a couple different things involving mental health, and those are the ones I'm going to tackle first because the other ones were not relevant. A lot of them were just like, hey, how can I get to know you better? And I'm just like, you can just start by saying hi. So, the first question I got asked was, what is mental health to me? Like, what does mental health mean to me? Mental health means to me, is knowing the signs when you're not okay and when to back away and being able to understand that you're not perfect. As humans, we're not perfect. We're going to be flawed. And understanding that sometimes walking away from a situation is better than arguing. Sometimes talking it out is better than, you know, sleeping mad about it and just letting it fester. I feel as though mental health is something that we're still perfecting. It's just like science. You're going to constantly evolve, and mental health is going to constantly change because what can trigger one person can be different for another person. And that's why I'm going to school, because I want to be able to understand the human mind a little bit more and what makes people tick and feel the way that they feel and go through the things that they're feeling and get a better insight on how to help other people seeking mental health, like healthy mental health awareness and emotional health. It's been one of those things where, like, it's been trial and error even for me that what may work for one person may not work for another. And I can tell you, as a person who's gone to multiple therapists, I've gotten multiple different outcomes from therapy. Like, I've had one therapist who, you know, took the friend approach. I had one therapist who took, like, hey, I'm gonna give you that tough love approach. I don't need that, believe me. I'm not that type of person. Do not come with me for tough love. If I need tough love, I know who to go to. Unfortunately, me and that person's not talking right now, because it's my personal choice. But it's one of those things where mental health is so, it's so important. I look at your brain as your computer. And if you know anything about computers, or you know anything about, you know, anything, including cars. Like, in order for a car to run, you need an engine, you need a battery, you need this. In order for a computer to run, you need all your circuitry, you need your motherboard, you need power source, you need this, that, and the third. Your brain is your power source. So if you're not taking care of your brain, you're going to have everything else shut down, and it's going to reflect that way. I realized that when my mental health is failing, everything else, including my disabilities, start to kick into overdrive. Like, when my anxiety is pretty bad, this little mofo right here will come out of nowhere and come lay next to me. He's laying next to me because he knows the camera's on. But when it comes to my depression will get worse when I'm not taking care of myself mentally. And your body will show signs when you're not taking care of yourself. It's like, you might wonder why you're getting heartburn while eating or drinking lemonade. It's your body basically telling you that you're not mentally okay, that your anxiety's bad, that, you know, maybe you were trying to figure out why you have a toothache because you're clenching your jaw too much. Why are you feel like you're antsy? You're restless. Why do you feel like you can't get enough sleep sometimes? Sometimes when you're not getting enough sleep, your body is trying to tell you that something's not right. When you're starting to have more nightmares or anything, like, you may be a person like me who don't have dreams, and then all of a sudden you're having a lot of dreams. And you're having a lot of nightmares. It's your body, basically, your subconscious telling you that you need to settle down. Something's not right. Something's wrong. You need to go ahead and, you know, take a moment and sit back. And it's just like, it's a matter of listening to your body. And I feel like mental health is not just about the mental psyche. It's about the physical aspect, the emotional aspect, understanding, you know, what your boundaries are. If you, why do you feel sad or your energy sad when you're around a certain person? Why do you always feel happy around a certain person? It's because your body knows what's good for it. And it's a matter of, are you listening to it? And your body will definitely show you signs when you're mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or your battery or energy is just drained. So mental health to me is just that. So I tell people, listen to your body, because your body will tell you when something's wrong. And it all starts in your head. It really does start in your head. And sometimes you can't shut those voices off. It's just, it is kind of what it is, but it's a matter of kind of sidetracking it. Cause I used to not be the most positive person in the world when it came to myself. For other people, I could always be positive. And it's like, now I've learned to realize that every bad thing happens not to make you down. It's to either build you up or help teach you a lesson. Did you learn the lesson? Did you walk away from the situation unscathed? So that was the biggest thing when that person asked me that question about mental health. I was like, there's so many different ways I can break that question down to be able to ask. Or, you know, I had to ask myself, what was mental health to me? I feel like that's the start of everything. Like, most of my poems involve, like, my body being my temple and my mind being my throne. Because at the end of the day, if you're not taking care of your throne, or you're not taking care of, you know, the head, you're not going to take care of anything else. It just kind of falls into peace. It's a domino effect. What are some of the ways that I manage my depression and anxiety when times like that occur? Oh, so I can honestly tell you, with my car getting broken into, and this is because it's recent, it's still kind of like fresh in my subconscious. I didn't take care of myself mentally or emotionally. I cried so many times. But it was one of those things where, like, I sat down and I was just like, why is it that everything bad that keeps happening happens around this time? Like, it was always, these events took place around either when I found out about it either when I was about to go to work, or it happened after I left work, or something of that nature. But something to me, after I cried about it, sat down, took a long, like, bath, like, I sat in water. And I meditate weird, but you can't tell a person how to meditate. I'm kind of a water bug in a way. I love taking baths. I love sitting in water whenever, you know, I can. And I really haven't been able to take baths since I got off my antidepressants, because, you know, my heart rate being a little elevated when I'm in hot water, or when I'm taking a shower, or, and still the fact of being, I was a little scared because my equilibrium is still a little off. So I'm not able to kind of keep myself grounded a lot. So I can't tend to, like, move a lot so I can keep myself grounded. But I would, like, literally submerge my head in water with, like, my bath salts and everything, and just literally tone out everything. I would literally play, like, chill step, or I'll play, like, some smooth R&B or something of that nature, but I would literally just listen to it under the water and close my eyes and just let my mind go. I would literally just let everything go under the water. Like, I would just not think about it. I wouldn't, you know, lose my head over anything. I would just literally do that. Just lay underwater and just submerge myself and just breathe, listening to my heartbeat, listening to the music and the calming of the water going back and forth. And I don't know what it is, but the sound of water moving makes me feel good. I don't know why. And that's one thing I love about forests. Like, if I could find, like, a small creek or a pond and just listen to rushing water, beautiful. I can get lost. And being in nature without the bugs, because I think that's the only major thing about me. Like, I can deal with bugs for a period of time, but then I'd be like, nah, I'm itchy. Nah, I need to do stuff. I can't. And then I'm not going to kill bugs. Like, I just, as a witch, I don't kill bugs. Spiders is my, like, you know, my spiritual and, like, arachnid, you know, it is what it is. I have a spider on my stomach. So for me, though, it's just like, that's the big thing. That's the major thing. It's just, that's how I would normally take care of it. But after all this was done, I finally did take a nice long bath, and I think that's the reason why I got some clarity. But I actually sat down, laid in some bath water, and, like, I had rose petals, like, you know, herbs, and I was sitting here marinating. That's the best way to put it. I was marinating in some salt, some lilac, and some lavender, and, you know, some oils, and I came out smelling like a whole snack. But I felt better. Like, I honestly, that was I took the risk because I knew I needed it to mentally get myself a little bit better. And I finally did it. And that's usually how I take care of myself. Like, I take on so much other people's problems. And I'm not complaining about that, because I love that people can come to me and talk to me about things, and that I'm able to help them find a solution. I will never tell them the wrong way. I look at it at a perspective of, you can either do this or you can do this, and these are the possible outcomes. Because that's just how I am. If you ever come to me with a problem, I'm going to tell you the two major solutions and the possible outcomes that will go with them. And then I can sit there and I'll even check up on you and see how things are going. Like, it's just how I am as a person. When it comes to that, that's how I take care of my mental health. I typically do take days away from social media, or hours, or I try to limit my social media intake. And go from there. I also got asked, how do I deal with major anxiety? Well, I have an inhaler. Unfortunately, that's kind of like my best friend. I have to kind of deal with that. My anxiety hasn't been too bad. I think I've only had like two major anxiety attacks that triggered into panic attacks, but they were right after my great aunt passed, which that devastated me because I missed the flight, and because they canceled the flight. And then right after I got out the shower, a little after I got off my meds, that was detrimental. My heart rate just started going up, and I literally clenched my chest. So that was one of those things that kind of got me in a big major way. But anxiety, typically you can do the butterfly, you know, patter, to kind of dill, and you count it, you keep it steady at a rhythm. That works sometimes for me. Counting backwards from 10, staying focused on something that's not moving. Typically I try to stay focused on, like, if I'm in my room, I have stuffed animals that I have that I could stay focused on. If I'm at work and I'm having bad anxiety, I actually draw. Like, if I'm having, like, a really irate customer, I will sit here and I will sketch or draw to kind of keep myself from losing my mind. Those are the major things when it comes down to that. So that's how I deal with, like, major anxiety. Depression, like I said, it comes and goes. Unfortunately, I'm going to be battling depression the rest of my life because I have PTSD and I do have things that do trigger me. I do tell people my triggers. I realize that it's about matter of teaching people what your triggers are and how to avoid your triggers and how to help you, especially when you're going into a relationship with somebody of any kind, friendships or anything. You kind of let them know, like, hey, this is a trigger. This, I like it or no, I don't like it. Setting the boundaries, setting the rules, and never letting anybody tell you that your feelings are not valid. I've had so many people in a long term that made me feel like my feelings were not valid, that I was just like, I can't deal with you no more. And I just stopped being friends with them and dealing with them. I also look at things on a different perspective of making sure people are aware ahead of time that I have anxiety and PTSD and depression, especially when it comes to dating apps. I don't want people to think that I'm perfect. I don't want you to wait 6 months to find out I have depression and anxiety. Like, that makes no sense. I feel like that's false advertisement. If I'm going to talk to you, I'm going to tell you up front, like, hey, look, these are my problems. This is what I got going on. Like, even to this point, like, my dating app profiles literally tells you, okay, I have an exclusive website. I got this. I got depression. I got anxiety. I'm this. I keep everything on the flat board, and then you kind of figure out where you want to go from there, because I'm not here to waste time. I'm 30 years old. It's just not how we're going to work. I don't have time to waste time, especially with depression and anxiety, and knowing who I am as a person, I don't like wasting my time, so I'm not going to waste other people's time, so I'm going to keep it straightforward and to the direct. Another thing is, I got asked on Twitter, where do I see my show in the next year? Still going. Honestly, I'm surprised I'm still going now. I'm actually very, very happy that it's still going the way that it's going. I want to get more people on the show. I want to get more people talking. I want to continue expanding my platform when it comes to my safe space. I want to have more people come and share their stories and talk about more taboo subjects and talk about more things that a lot of people don't want to talk about. Because honestly, like I said, we at one point of time talked about, you know, I want to talk more about, you know, masturbation and talk more about, you know, physical touch and different love languages when it comes to love being, physical touch being a love language. Because me being a person that I am, I literally have a poem that literally says that I found love with the wrong people because of my past. And how I would stay loyal to the wrong people because of that. And that just because, you know, you're demisexual does not mean you're not sexual. Even if demisexuals only get sexually attractive, or they find people sexually attractive when they're emotionally attached to them, doesn't mean that they don't have sex. I understand demisexual is a form of asexuality, but doesn't mean that we don't like having sex. It doesn't mean that we don't miss having sex. It doesn't mean that, you know, we're celibate. It's just little things like that. Like, I want to talk more in depth about things like that, especially when it comes to asexuality, because they think everybody who has explicit content is a sexual person. No, we're not. We're not 100% sexual people. We are very picky and choosy because of the things that go on in our lives. Or because of our sexual orientations, or talk more about the pronouns and talking about people and their proper pronouns, especially now that I'm seeing a lot of people having issues with talking to people about their pronouns and having issues with why they find it to be stupid that people have to announce their pronouns, because it's a respect thing. And if you don't respect people's boundaries, how do you expect for people to respect yours? It's equal exchange. It's just how it is. If you don't care for their respect, then that's on you. But if a person says, I would prefer for you to call me X pronouns, then just have the common courtesy. You might slip up a couple times and just apologize. So I want to talk a little bit more about that, a little bit more depths and about growth, mental and emotional growth, because I'm still growing emotionally and knowing that sometimes certain things just should not bother you. Like social media, as women, we get so jealous about our guys liking other females' pictures. Or, you know, figuring out, oh, what is this connection? Is he trying to slide her DMs and stuff like that? I've learned to just, you know, social media makes it readily accessible for guys to sit here and talk to other females. Is he going to do something with it? If he decides to cheat on you, then you should be mad at him, not at her. You should talk to him about this. If it makes you uncomfortable, then talk about it. But then also understand that social media makes it easy for people to do that. Like, these are the things that makes me want to talk to people a little bit more in depth. And I even was making a conversation about how if you sit here and have a relationship with somebody and they're popular or they're on social media or they model or they DJ, of course there's going to be people who will be like, oh my God, he's fine or she's this and she's that. Let me talk to you. Oh, that's my wife. That's my this, that, and the other. You can't be built to be in a relationship with social media and have low self-esteem. If your partner is doing their part by making sure you are secure in your relationship, what people say on social media should not bother you. So I'm one of those people where I can tell you straight up, I don't particularly care. If a girl comes to me and said, well, your man is in my DMs, which I've had multiple of those in the last couple weeks pertaining to somebody, I was just like, today, I woke up and chose violence today, guys. I'm sorry if you're following me on social media. And I'm at that point in my life where I don't apologize to nobody, and I'm not here to spare anyone's feelings. But if you came to me thinking that you were being an adult because you want to shoot your shot at this person or whatever the case, I just basically said, you know what? I'm going to let you think what you want. If you think I'm fucking this person or having a relationship with this person, yes. Yes, I am. To save face, yes. Yes, I am. Because I'm not going to sit here and I'm not going to go through every single message and be like, no, 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 no. First and foremost, I don't lie to nobody. I'm not going to ever lie to anyone. But at the same time, I'm not going to entertain groupies. I'm not going to entertain fans. I'm not going to entertain, you know, a person who's for the streets and their backup people. Like, if you come to me and you ask me, am I talking to someone, I'm going to be like, I'm not going to answer your question with what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you, actually, no, I'm going to tell you exactly what you want to hear. In a way, you're coming to me to ask me if I'm talking to somebody, so of course I'm going to tell you yes. It may not be right, but I'm going to just tell you yes, because you decided to take the approach. You felt like you had enough information or enough background data to come to me and be like, well, I need to solidify and get word of mouth from you. Are you talking to this person? Yes. And if you want to come to me and be like, oh, well, they're talking to me too, then that's their prerogative. Until I get somebody who sits here and say, hey, look, it's me and you against the world and all this other stuff doesn't matter. All right, cool. Then I'm single. I don't care. So at this point in time in my life, that's the reason why I woke up and chose violence, because I had like 6 people in my inbox and I have some new lurkers on my my IG following like my friend and then also me lurking to see if like we're dating or if we're talking. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm not even going to tell people no. I don't even care. I'm choosing violence. I'm going to let y'all think what y'all want to think. I'm going to just, if you think we are, we are. If we're not, the world will never know. First and foremost, it's not your business. Secondly, I don't care. So hi, darling. So that's the reason why I'm waking up and choosing violence. I'm not sparing people's feelings. If you think that we're having a relationship, we're having a relationship. I'm not going to sit here and justify any answer for anybody. You shouldn't be asking me these questions. We're not close. Like, I don't get why you think it's okay to ask me these things. The other questions I kept getting asked was, I see myself creating a, when I get my degree, do I see myself creating a actual clinic, a therapy or, guidance counselor clinic? Yes, I am. That is my end goal, is to actually sit here and create a therapy clinic for people to talk about the things that they can't, or not okay talking about. Hey, Zeb, I can see you. Hey. And talking about the things that they're not okay talking about with their family or with their close friends as a biased or unbiased opinion on certain situations. And I would give you my opinion, but then I'll also give you facts when it comes to certain things. And then I will also guide you to the resources to do your own research. Because I can be giving you partial facts, not the full facts of what's going on. Because we have social media, we have the internet, where information is readily available to you. So with mental health, of course I want to create a safe space where you can come and talk to me and just vent and have a moment and not have anybody judge you for having your moment. I also want to create a safe space for people to be knowledgeable of their own mental health and be able to take control of their own mental health and know when they're not okay and when to walk away from a situation and to say goodbye. So yes, ultimately my end goal after school is to create my own clinic where you can call, video chat, things of that nature, reach out to me directly and talk to me about certain situation, because even therapists need therapists. And then I also know there's a lot of people in the African American community, millennials especially, that needs mental health guidance, that needs somebody that can go out and they can talk to about a lot of the things going on in their lives. No, you're not. You can go ahead and lay back down, get yourself real comfortable right here. I don't know where you thought you were going. A wellness center for the meditative and therapeutic and counseling service. Yes, Zev, I agree. That is exactly what it is. And of course, I'm going to always tell you to stay medicated herbally. I'm going to always find natural remedies for people because, no offense, after being on antidepressants as long as I was so codependent on it. And unfortunately, Big Pharma might pull my video from this or my audio. That is addictive. Antidepressants is very addictive, and it is a very bad drug to get on because my withdrawal symptoms, and it even says warning when you're going through withdrawals for this particular antidepressant, you need to get committed because you need to be guided. You need to be under guidance counsel when you're getting off or going off of this. I would have been committed for 2 weeks. If I didn't have my sister and my roommate, I probably would have been committed. Like, it was just no ifs, ands, buts about it. Yes, and I outreach service, that's a goal, but I feel like at the end of the day I want to find natural remedies for people to get better. I'm all about natural remedies, protecting your energy, your mental health, your emotional health, and emotional maturity, because at the end of the day a lot of people think that they're emotionally mature and they're not really emotionally mature. Like, I have a lot of people who think that I'm emotionally mature and I'm not 100%. I have my moments. I have my moments where I'm not, because I'm not perfect. I'm only 30. I haven't figured everything out. I was married. I was an emotional wreck then, and I mean, I'm a lot better than I was. But honestly, at the end of the day, emotional maturity is not something you can get in like 5 years or 2 years. We're constantly evolving. The world is constantly changing. You're going to constantly need to keep seeking that guidance, that counsel, and going the place that it was. Like, even for me, like, the reason why I left Agram, it was because the fact of being the person who was my partner, she wasn't emotionally mature, and she wasn't understanding that I walked away from our business to preserve our friendship. And then the moment she told me that, I made her uncomfortable asking her to meet me halfway. When it came to our relationship, she said it was selfish of me. And the moment she told me it was selfish, I was like, I have to walk away from this, because if I'm making you uncomfortable, then we shouldn't be friends. That is not what a friendship should be. If I make you uncomfortable, we shouldn't be friends. And that's me walking away, not to be selfish. It's a legit reason. If I make you uncomfortable, I want you to be comfortable. I want you to live your best and fullest life. And understand that, you know, life is going to have uncomfortable moments, but as your friend, I don't want to make you uncomfortable. I will walk away from a friendship to preserve your feelings and make you happy. And I hope if she definitely listens to this or she anything, I say this out of love. I love you. I care for you. I hope that you're doing a lot better. I don't take anything personal. I was upset about it at the beginning, but at the end of the day, as long as you're happy, you're mentally okay, you're emotionally okay, that's all that matters. If me walking away be all worth it, I can't say anything, because the thing is, if you say it one too many times that I make you uncomfortable, I'm gonna walk away. And that's something that I do, because I know what it feels like to be uncomfortable. So for a person to tell me that I make them uncomfortable, I know what it makes me feel and how that makes me feel. And then I would never be around that person. So I'm not going to force myself to be around you if I make you uncomfortable. They are prone to be more addictive when their personal's only source. There are supports to use in conjunction of therapy and activity changing your environment. Yes, I agree. Medication is a very addictive substance if you're not doing the proper stuff. Like, I was meditating, I was, you know, staying active, I was staying hydrated, but even with that, even with me still keeping myself a little bit active and everything, it was not enough, it was still pretty bad. So I had to get away. It was just nothing else I can really do. I didn't like how it felt if I missed it by like an hour, because the withdrawal symptoms would start kicking in. Like if I was supposed to take my medicine at 9, by 10 o'clock, if I missed it, I would feel the withdrawal effect, and it was not a good feeling. So I was like, I can't do this. Because God forbid I had to go to work early one day and I forgot to take my meds with me, because I'm not going to take a whole container with me to work. And I was literally, I would be messed up the whole entire day. If I missed it by like an hour, it was just too much. I was like, I can't do this no more. So more or less though, that was it. Now IG, the main things that were going on with IG was, sorry guys, I lost IG for a second. Speaking of. So IG, with the questions I got asked on IG was this. IG was, I feel like people on IG are different than my Facebook followers and my Twitter followers, because Twitter was more or less like, what are you going to do when you get out of school? How do you deal with having so many different hats? I had a person ask me, like, how do I balance being a model, having my gaming, going to school, working full time, having the podcast? Like anybody else, I balance it accordingly. I set a schedule. My sister, aka my manager, sets a schedule for me, and I follow the schedule. Well, she more or less, she draws the outline for the schedule, and I'm more the one like, oh no, we're supposed to be doing this at this time, we need to do this, da 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 da. And sometimes she's really good about keeping me on my P's and Q's. I think she's slowly but surely becoming me. It's all right. I love her. But I keep a schedule. Huh?
What?
Keeping me on my P's and Q's?
No. What did you say it was becoming?
So, when it comes to my schedule?
Yeah.
You wait until last minute, though. Sometimes.
Yeah.
You procrastinator.
Yeah.
But you do tell me, hey, you have a podcast this week.
Yeah,
yeah, that's it. You remind me. You set reminders. But yeah, no, I set a schedule. And I feel like if I don't set a schedule, my life would be chaotic. So I typically, that's the biggest thing. I set a schedule. The other thing I try to do, because he's losing his mind over here. The other thing I try to do is this. If my schedule changes even the slightest, I try to make sure I change it to what the course needs to be. I try to keep it relatively like set. And I also try to schedule free time for myself, because if I don't schedule free time for myself, I'll never have it. And honestly, streaming to me is not really a major like detriment thing. That's honestly, I feel joy from that. So streaming like video games, that's a great joy for me. Right now I'm taking a break from school, so that works out. I passed school my last semester, so yay to me. And then, of course, you know, the podcast is something that I do every other Friday. Well, second and fourth Friday of every month. So that's not really a major thing. So how I balance it is that I set a schedule. That's the best way to put it. I do certain things on certain days. I do certain things on other days. I try not to overbook myself. Sometimes I do. I think I've done it a few times since we started the schedule, but that's about it. So I try to keep my schedule within, you know, the time frame that I have, and I have things planned out. If I don't have things planned out, I'm gonna just be chaotic. My next major thing is this. Am I ever going to do a open mic night again? Which was a question I got asked on IG. I literally told people like this. Let me not say no to that. I might do an open mic night probably sometime during the summer. I might do it during the summer. Because guess what? I am working to compile all my poems. I still have about 30 poems to go through to figure out which ones I want to keep and plan everything together. So my book, my poetry book gets together and puts them all together. I'm actually doing a photo shoot tomorrow that I'm hoping could be a part of my book. It's supposed to be like a white t-shirt boudoir boyfriends / girlfriends t-shirt shoot that I want to do. That is going to be part of my poetry book for one of the chapters. So I plan a lot of things out. So it's one of those things. I'm looking forward to it. And then I also, on conjunction to this question, somebody asked me, was I going to get vaccinated so I can be able to travel again for modeling? Well, if I decide to go ahead and go back into the airline industry, it's a requirement for me to go ahead and get vaccinated. If I decide to go back into the airline industry, I'm going to have to. If I want to travel, most cases, if I want to go international, they're going to require that. I love traveling. That is, like, I take blocks out of my schedule sometimes to go travel. And that's my vacation. That's just it. So, in short answer, yes. Is it going to get done immediately? Probably. Yes, probably. I've already started that process. I really was against it because, honestly, at the end of the day, I feel like the vaccination came out super quick. And I felt like I was like, oh, so they got a vaccine for this, but with AIDS has been around for like half a fucking century. And like, we still don't have a vaccine for that. And that's a virus too. Like, make it make sense. Like, how does that work? AIDS has been circulating for years and we still don't have a vaccine for that. But that was just kind of like my preserves on that. So, but unfortunately I got into it with my family pretty badly over it. So family is semi-important to me at this point, but then at the same time, I love my family, but they can kiss the darkest part of my ass if they don't like the way I live. It is what it is. I don't seek approval or anything on my lifestyle from them at this point. I'm 30 years old. They're going to either love me or they're going to hate me. Respectfully, I love them, but also respectfully, if you don't like what I'm doing or how I'm doing, you know, don't pressure me. I'm not a child anymore. I'm 30. You can be mad, get over it, just like I'm gonna get mad and I'm gonna get over it. It is what it is. So there's where somebody was asking me about the vaccine. So in short answer, yes, I've already started it. I get my next shot next month sometime. I don't like fucking with IG because IG definitely doesn't like answering the questions or asking me appropriate questions. I actually had somebody ask me, there's a preventative pill for HIV? Yeah, but it's a pill. There's a preventative pill. It's not a shot. It's not something to help in anything. But back to where I was going to. IG, like I said, they don't like, the people on IG don't like asking the appropriate questions, so let me go ahead and answer in short. I had some people ask me, was I dating someone? Again, I'm gonna go back to what I said earlier. If you come to my page and ask me if I'm dating a certain person, to short answer, yes. Yes, we are dating. Because I woke up and chose violence today. So whatever answer you think that you're gonna get out of me, just automatically say yes. Yeah, if you came to my page and you were bold enough to ask me these questions, yes. Yes, we are dating. Are we hooking up? Yes. Yes, we are hooking up. Because that's what people decided to do. They decided to slide in my DMs. They slide to use that little, hey, ask me a question moment. All right, cool. Bet. You want to be here? You want to be bold? This is what you want to do? This is what you're choosing to do? You're wasting my time, so let me waste yours. Yes. Yes, we are dating. Yes, we are having, we're linking up. Are they going to keep linking up with me? Yes. Am I aware that they're also talking to you? Do I care that they're talking to you? No, I don't. That's their prerogative. Again, I'm going to answer your question with an answer you don't want to hear because I don't care, because I'm getting tired of defending myself, because that's none of your business. Unless you are physically dating this person, that is your business, but don't come to me as a woman to woman thing. Then you need to keep them out of my DMs, or you need to address it with that person. Do not come to me and ask me if I'm having a relationship with somebody at all. Like, I don't. Like, if any person, for any of my male friends, And if any of your female friends on your page comes up to me and say, oh, are you talking to this person on an intimate level? Just know I'm going to tell them yes every single time. Do I care about their opinion of me? No, I do not. Because at the end of the day, it is what it is. It is. Like, even if, like, for my friend Zeb, if they come up to Zeb, or, like, come up to me talking about, are you talking to Zeb? Are y'all hooking up and this, that, and the other? He came to New York to come hook up with you. I'm like, yeah. Yep. Or even better yet, Mont. Like, did Mont come up there to hook up with you? Yes. I'm literally going to answer the question yes every single time, whether it's right or wrong, because I don't care anymore. Because we're grown. You don't need to be coming to me. You need to be going to them. If you speculate them cheating, then you need to go to them. If your gut is telling you that they're cheating, 9 times out of 10, they probably are. Is it with the person you think that it is? Probably. I'm not here to spare nobody's feelings. I've come to the conclusion that if a person is going to cheat and social media makes it easy for people to cheat, they're going to cheat. So if you come to me, woman to woman, man to man, say, hey, are you talking to my man? Are you talking to my friend on this level? I'm going to say yes every single time. I'm sorry to hurt your feelings. I'm saying my sorries once now, but I am super tired of getting my people in my DMs for the last week and people wasting my time on IG asking the dumb questions. So yes, 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 yes. Oh, are you talking to Zeb on an intimate level? Yes. Yes, I am. Oh, you're talking to I Marquise on an intimate level? Yes. Yes, I am. Like, I don't care anymore. I don't. Like, I'm 30. If you have to question this, then you need to talk to that person. Like, I don't. We're grown. If I have literally tell people all the time that I'm single and I am the way that I am, that is not up to you to believe my truths. You feel me? If I'm one of those people, like, I'm at that point of my age limit where if I tell you I'm doing XYZ, know that shit for what it is, because I don't sugarcoat nothing. I have no reason to lie about nothing. I have no reason to come and confront about nothing. It is what it is. Like, we're adults. It is what it is. So he's like, I should be so lucky. Yes. What I was saying is if one of your female friends come up to me, or one of your, you know, your partners come up to me saying, are you talking to him? I would like, yeah. What? Because, I mean, we are talking. We're friends. Like, that's not a lie. That is not a lie. But then they were like, oh, you know what I mean? Talking. I'm like, yeah, we are talking. We are having conversations. What else do you, like, what do you mean? Are we talking? You need to come. Oh, are y'all fucking? And I'm going to tell you yes to that, too, because at this point, you'd already wasted your time trying to come talk to me. So I'm going to tell you yes on every level. I'm going to check off your list. Yep. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Graciously, disrespectfully, yes. Yes, they are. So I don't care. So that's just it. Like, if you come to me on some bullshit, I'm going to give you bullshit answers. So if you ask me if I'm hooking up with somebody, I'm going to tell you, yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. 100%. All day. It is what it is. IG also was asking me if I'm in a relationship or am I looking for a relationship. I am not in a relationship with anybody at this moment. I'm in a relationship with myself. Since hot girl summer has started and hot boy or city boy and city girl stuff, I am a stay at home girl. I am a boring as fuck person. I like to go travel, but I'm not on that whole quote unquote what most people basically say out in the streets. I'm not for the streets. Being single's ghetto. But then again, I'm not gonna be fucking with just anybody. It is what it is. So I am off the market until somebody comes up and be like, hey, I wanna talk to you and get to know you on a better level and not waste my time. So to answer your question, I am still single. And I am not for the streets. I'm not out here doing XYZ. Yeah, don't get me wrong, I have, you know, my content, but that's just that. I have my content because that's my income. That's where I get paid. That's how I get paid. Hi. I need that glow up clout in my life. Yeah, man, you know, talk to me. What's up? That's good. So, like I said, IG's questions tend to be a little bit less about the podcast and more about my personal life and who am I with, who am I seeing, Are you talking to XYZ, or did you fuck so-and-so, or oh, you sitting here and be real friendly and buddy-buddy with people. If I call you my best friend, you my best friend. If I call you my big brother, I think of you as my big brother. But apparently, you can't call somebody your big brother without people automatically thinking y'all fucked each other. And I'm like, that's not... Okay, all right. Call me old-fashioned. This is why I can't be on social media, because I wake up and choose violence, because people automatically think that because I call somebody like my spawn or my child or my kid, because I got two kids that are adults, like they are literally like friends who are like not that far off in age from me, and I call them my children. And then I got people who are guys who I consider my brothers. I've never had sexual interactions with them, or best friends that I consider like my best friends, and they were like, oh, y'all must have done some stuff. No, again, let me remind people, I am demisexual. My body count is not that big. I need people to understand that, you know, I'm good at what I do because I perfected it with the few people that I've been with. I stayed in relationships with people, and I went through the things that I went through for a reason. Like, I don't have a large body count, so people need to understand this. I am literally demisexual, and I'm loyal to people I'm talking to. If I'm talking to one person, that's who I'm talking to. If I'm talking to someone, y'all would know, because if you try to slide in my DMs, I'm gonna be like, sorry kid, so there's already somebody in the works right now. Even if I may not physically be with that person, or we not have a title on it, I will tell you, like, I'm gonna be like, hey look, I'm talking to someone else. Like, I can't give you my attention and then somebody else my attention. Like, don't get me wrong, if you're a guy, if I'm talking to a guy and then I'm turning around talking to a female, I can do that. But I can't talk to two guys at the same time. It's just, it gets messy. I'm a little weird. I am pansexual. I am still, you know, also poly. But I'm also, I have a girlfriend, guys, like, in a way. Like, I have a girlfriend. Like, I claim her. That's why I'm not looking for a female. It is what it is. That's a whole long distance thing, and that it is, like, nobody can take her place. Like, I'm sorry, females, I straight up, love y'all. But if you're trying to, you know, talk to me on an intimate level and you're a female, sorry. Guys, though, on the other hand, like, she handles my emotional side of my relationships. Like, that's what she's here for. I look really red. I'm becoming a devil. It's okay. It is what it is. Now, like, guys, though, on the other hand, it is, I tend to be a little bit more intimate sexually, physically, and emotionally, because love is my love language. I have a lot of love languages, unfortunately, so, yeah. I just got asked a question on IG, which was, how can you talk to your friends about something that hurt you a long time ago, and I'm mentally depressed. So, talking about something that happened a long time ago takes time. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. You're going to have to understand that you're not going to be able to come up to somebody that you think you're going to be okay talking to immediately. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to take time to actually be like, okay, I want to talk about it. I want to find a solution. I need to know who I can go to. I don't want to go to my friend. I don't want to go to my family. I don't want to go to a therapist. Sometimes writing it out works. I actually had a therapist who just suggested me writing a letter of the situation that hurt me. And then taking that letter and reading it, or giving it to the person I want to tell that hurt me. Like, if it was a situation where I felt like a person gaslighted me, or a situation where I didn't feel like the situation was handled appropriately, you could write a letter to yourself and then go through it. But if you want to talk to a friend that you feel comfortable enough talking to, you'd be like, you got to know that this person, you're like, hey, I want to let something off my shoulder. Like, it's been eating away at me. Can you talk to me for a little while? Just listen, not judge. Like, kind of lay the grounding down that the conversation you're going to have with this person is going to be a deep conversation. And if this person cares enough about you, they're going to respect that and know that you're coming from you know, a level. So it's like you have to like let them know, like, hey, I want to talk to you something. It's going to be a little heavy, and I just want to talk about it because I want it off my chest. And if that person really cares about you, they'll be like, okay, they'll, you know, you want to talk about it now, like, they'll make sure that it's a safe space. And you got to make sure that the person you're going to convey that information to is not going to, you have enough trust that they're not going to go bring it to someone else or tell your business to someone else. You want to sit down and know that your information is going to be safe with this person, that they're not going to look at you differently. There's a lot of people that you don't understand. Like, you can have friends with, be friends with somebody for 10 plus years and not realize that, you know, their conversation, that you can't really have decent conversations with them because they're going to throw it back in your face. I realize certain people, they will feel a certain type of way, and basically kind of like make you feel as though that you're less of a person when you're having conversation with them. But this person, just when you bring that to them, you're bringing them your load. You're dropping a fragile package in front of them, and you have to know that they're going to handle it properly, that they're going to take care of this knowledge, and they're not going to judge you for having this knowledge. And it's one of those things where, like, you have to be comfortable. I wouldn't suggest conveying that information to somebody if you don't feel comfortable talking to them, if they don't make you feel like they're going to hold that information, keep it to themselves, and then go from there. Like, I had a friend, I lost, not physically lost a friend, but I lost a friendship over the fact that I had somebody who told me that she wanted to commit suicide, and she decided to hang up the phone on me. And again, after that one incident with the one friend I did lose from committing suicide, when she hung up on me and I couldn't get a hold of her, I kept calling. I called 911 to get a wellness check on her because she was states away. So I called the local authorities in her state to get a hold of her to do a wellness check because she turned her phone off. I lost her as a friend because she said what she said, hung up abruptly, and I panicked because I didn't want to lose a friend over that. So I basically did a wellness check on her, and this is when I was like 22 years old. I didn't know what else to do. So I did that, and she came to me with what she was feeling. She found out she was pregnant. She didn't know what she wanted to do with it. Me and her were friends again now, like years later, because she's finally dealt with it. But at that time, me and her, we lost friendship, we lost connection, because she came to me with this information. She thought I betrayed her because I did a wellness check on her, and we didn't talk for years. But then now, as she's matured emotionally, she realized I did what I did because I cared about her. And I didn't want to lose a friend about it. So, I mean, it's about taking that information and knowing that the people that you're bringing that information to is going to make you feel better about it. You gotta understand that sometimes it's a matter of knowing that the people that you're bringing that information to is going to take care of it. Sometimes the people who are in your circle is not completely in your circle. Mm-hmm. They're there to be malicious. You have to understand that sometimes it does take a little bit of time. It does take a understanding, growth, development, understanding. It's and unfortunately, just like anything in life, love, it's like playing roulette. You're gonna find some people that you think that you have a connection with that they're not going to abuse or hurt you, and then you bring them some information thinking that, you know, everything's safe with them, and it's not really a safe space. So you have to know that sometimes the people that you think might be a safe space may not be a safe space. And that's the reason why I will kick somebody out of my safe space if I know for a fact they're not creating a true safe space, because that's not what we are here for. We're building a community for people to grow emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, as well as, you know, education, and have a safe space where they could be themselves and do the things that they want to do without having people judge them or anything else like that. Examining what about the past trauma is affecting you still, but your triggers are about surrounding the event and conveying that, and how their behavior could help or triggering is for you. Like, again, setting that ground rule of what is your triggers, everything else like that. Like I said, even for me, going back into the dating line in the industry of dating, I kind of lay out already, like, hey, look, I have depression, I have PTSD, I have anxiety. Like, I let people know up front, like, this is what you're getting into. And especially with people who have anxiety and depression, they don't like wasting their time because they've been hurt. And when you get to a certain point of hurt, you tend to kind of like, I don't want people to waste my time because I've been hurt. And I don't want to keep going through the same repeated cycles over and over and over again. So you tend to let people know the groundwork, like, hey, these are my triggers, these are my problems, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. When I'm having an anxiety attack, this is what you need to do. When I'm having this, I have friends where if they know, if I come up to them and say, tell me something good, they know that I'm having a depressed moment. Like, I'm just needing something good in my life, something good to be told to me, even if it's something, you know, minimum, like, oh, cats, they'll send me cat videos or memes or something. But if I come to you and say, hey, tell me something good, that's me telling you, hey, I'm depressed. Let me know something, like, help me out, like, give me something that's going to make me smile. So it's one of those things you have to kind of understand what your triggers are and understanding. And honestly, as a person who has mental health problems, most of us know what our triggers are. We know what words trigger us, what actions trigger us. We're watching repeated behaviors. And a lot of the times, like, when the guys get into a relationship with women who have past behaviors or because of bad relationships, we look at your behaviors. And we'll tell you, like, hey, you know, my ex, you know, cheated on me. This is why I'm the way that I am and stuff like that. Sometimes, you know, changing the way that you think as a person who's experienced these things over and over again, we go into relationships and we don't realize that sometimes treating our next partner as if they're our old partner because they have some, like, oh, they're a workaholic. But then your ex was claiming they're a workaholic. Now you're going into a relationship thinking that they're doing the same thing as the ex, not realizing you're causing your new partner trauma as well. So when you go into a new relationship, you have to look at it a new pair of eyes. You shouldn't jump into another relationship until you've emotionally healed enough, because a lot of people are repeat relationship offenders. And that's why I've been, like, single as long as I have, because I've gone through some shit and I don't want to go into the next relationship thinking that, you know, my next is going to be the same as my ex. You know, I gotta look at it as, you know, the next person's not the same person. We are all different. Like, I'm not your ex, you're not my ex. We are a whole new experience. This is a whole new relationship. This is fresh, this is new. You gotta look at it a whole new pair of eyes and stuff like that. And sometimes even with friendships, you gotta look at it the same way. So you kind of go in knowing what your triggers are, and you should tell your new partner or your friends, hey, these are my likes, these are my dislikes, these are, you know, I've experienced some trauma. You don't even have to tell them what the trauma is yet, because you're not open enough to tell them that. You could just say, hey, I went through some stuff in my life, so I'm not the easiest person to deal with. I have some baggage. Everybody, when they get to a certain age, has baggage. You have to go in accepting that you have to know that you are setting the ground rules that you're going to need those safeties, nets, and everything. That's the reason why there's a lot of women and guys out there who play, you know, age play. They, you know, they have littles and we have, you know, bigs and we have things like that, because those are people where they felt safest at certain ages because they didn't have any trauma. Like, there's some days I wish I could say I don't want to be an adult anymore, but at the same time, I'm so dominant because I've been pushed over so much. I was bullied. And because I was bullied, I grew. And because I grew, I became more dominant, less submissive. And I have a lot of guys now, they're like, why can't you be submissive? Why are you such an alpha? Because I was bullied growing up. And because I talked proper, or because I was going through the stuff that I went through. And I told myself I would never be weak ever again. So I became dominant to the point where I do not take less than what I think I deserve. And I'm one of those, I will do the things that I want to. But as I've gotten older, I've realized that you do have to somewhat be submissive when the right person comes around and you feel comfortable enough for it. So, like I said, there's people who do certain things that they do because of, you know, the trauma and the experiences in their life. And if you are mature enough to understand that, then going to a person and be like, hey, I am into age play because of the trauma that I went through and this is where I feel safe, then the partner will respect and understand that. And they're not going to kink shame you. They're not going to look down on you. And if you go into a person and telling them what your traumas are and setting down the ground rules, if they really care about you, they're not going to care about that. They're not going to sit here and be like, well, I can't talk to you because you have trauma. I'm not going to talk to you because of this. And it's about setting those ground rules. It's literally about being the bigger person and setting those ground rules for your safety and for your specialness, especially if this person is not into the mental health community and they're just a friend. Any friendship that you have should have that level of comfortability, but then also try to, if you, especially if you're trying to grow and evolve, that level of uncomfortability, because you're going to have to be uncomfortable in order to grow. So they're going to understand a balance between making sure that you feel comfortable and then uncomfortable so you can grow at the same time. But they're going to make sure you're comfortable enough to come talk to you about your problems, and they're going to make you feel a little uncomfortable to help you grow, because you know there are going to be some days you're going to quit because you don't, you're mentally not ready for that. And at the end of the day, but this is what you want. And that's what the, creating a balance is. It's making sure that you have that balance to go the things that you want to go ahead and do the things that you want to go ahead and do. So I tell people all the time, like, you got to look at it as, you know, you're going to have that balance. So if you can't go to the friend, then maybe that's not the person you need to go to about your trauma. It's not the person you need to talk to about your safe space. And they will hold spaces for you to want to talk without judgment. Of course, it's all about judgment. We are a judgment-free zone. And that's the reason why my podcast is the way that it is. It's a judgment-free zone. And if you want to come and talk about you being in a poly relationship, we're going to keep you in a judgment-free zone. Now, if you're in the wrong, I'm going to tell you when you're in the wrong. Like, if you're in a poly relationship and you're cheating, I will tell you you're cheating. There's a difference between cheating and then, you know, being in a poly relationship. Because some people just use poly as an excuse to cheat, and that's not what you should be doing. I am a very judge-free person, except when you're in the wrong. I will tell you when you're in the wrong, because that's my job as your friend, is to tell you, okay, I see where you're coming from, but I also see where they're coming from, and this is why you're wrong, and this is why they're right. Or this is why they're wrong, and this is why you're right. Like, I always look at both sides of the story in perspective. It's about balance. Another thing that I kept getting asked on IG, which I ignore every single time, like, I think I got like 4 questions asking me if I was in a relationship, and at this point, if it makes y'all sleep, it help y'all sleep at night, yes, I'm in a relationship. Like, I'm tired of explaining that to people, that I'm not in a relationship. So if it makes y'all sleep better at night, yes, I'm in a relationship. Like, hell, if you want to shoot your shot that badly, come to me as an adult. Try to talk to me. It is what it is. We are adults here. but we're chill. Try to stay a good vibe. Everything. I had a person ask me, how in the world can they start gaming with me? Because they want to game with me. Send me a message. Most of the answers to those questions that I got that I don't want to ask or put the question out there is simply, come talk to me. I am a human being. I do interact, as long as you're not on some BS. And you're not on some unsolicited dick pic shit. So that's where I'm at in my life. Other than that, I think I answered all the major questions I wanted to answer at this point in time. You know, the outcome of what I want to do with my podcast. Where do I see myself in a couple years, especially after school? Am I going to take my education on further? The whole reason I went back to school was because I wanted to create a outreach program and a place for people to actually have a safe space. And talk about their problems and have, you know, their moments and stuff like that. So other than that, I will see you guys later. I'm actually in this stream for the podcast, so I can set up for the actual gaming stream on Twitch. So if you guys are following me on Twitch, which is Lady Reiku, that's Lady Reiku, that's R3IKO. So if you're putting Lady Reiku in, please, 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 it's all one word. So it's Lady R-E-I-K-O, and it's R3, the number 3IKO, for the actual for Twitch. If you're following me on my social medias, Lady _ Reiku is my IG, B _REIKO is my Twitter, and Model Reiku Blackheart is my Facebook, for my Facebook model page. Again, I do multiple things, so do not think you figured me out, because there's no way, that you can figure me out, because, by the way, I will keep you guys posted on the book. I will keep you guys posted up on if I'm going to do another open mic night. Just remember, the guys, the vibes here, that it is okay to not be okay. Self-love is the best love. Self-care is the best care. Do not let nobody halfway love you. And, you know, just try to have a good week. Stay hydrated. Don't let nobody drive you insane. Don't let people, you know, go around and think anything less than you. At the end of the day, people are going to think that they're going to think about you. And the only thing that really matters is your opinion of yourself. That's the reason why at this point in time, I'm just, if people want to think that I'm doing XYZ with so-and-so, then I'm going to just say yes. Yes, I am. Because I know my truths. So, and if me and that person are doing stuff, we know our truths. That's none of your business. If you really want to find out, then you need to talk to that person. Find out. Be reckless there, guys. Other than that, I'm going to go set up for the gaming stream on Twitch. I will see you there for Gothic Gamer Date Night. I'm very casual today because I didn't feel like getting like super, super dressed up. But other than that, I hope you guys have a safe and wonderful night. Thank you for tuning into the podcast. Have a good one. Bye.